Friends, today we are focusing continually on the vision and the hope that God has before us. We're in this season of exploring what it means to serve a God who has been extravagantly generous to us, and what does it look like for us to have hearts that are extravagantly generous to God and to God's world. So our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm going to encourage you this morning to either reach for a pew Bible. Friends who are maybe here for the first time, there are pew Bibles in the backs in front of you, and you might flip to Matthew. It's in the New Testament, sort of halfway back in your pew Bibles. And if you've got your own Bible or if you've got it on your phone, open it up today so you can read it. We're looking at chapter 6, and as you're working your way to finding that, I want to give you a little bit of background as to what's going on here, right? So this is at the very beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. It's the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus. And what we have come to know about Jesus at this point in Scripture is that he is very powerful with his words. That beautiful name song that we read is that we sang is just perfect. He has been traveling all around ancient Palestine, and he's sharing these new visions of who God is and who God is calling us to be. He's been preaching. People are coming to him in massive crowds because he's healing people and he's meeting people where they are. And in our passage of scripture today, what he's done is he's kind of separated himself a little bit from the crowds, and he's called his disciples to him, and they're sitting on a hillside in Galilee, and he's been talking to them for a long time about what it means to be a true follower of God. And so what he says in our scripture today is part of a bigger message that he has for him. It's called a sermon. Does anybody remember what this sermon in the beginning of Matthew is called? Sermon on the Mount. I think I heard it. I'm pretty sure it was my mom who said that. Good job, Granny Franny. So, the Sermon on the Mount, I would lift it up to you. It is an incredible message of God's vision for what this world ought to be. And when Jesus shares this vision with his disciples, with us, it really calls us to consider our lives, to think about how we ourselves are living. It encourages us to open up our hearts to God's heart, which is for healing and restoring all of creation. So hold that scene of Jesus with his disciples in your mind. And as you listen, I want to invite you to maybe pick up a pen and write down in your bulletin, or maybe underline in your Bible. Don't be underlining in pew Bibles, because I might get in trouble for that. But underline or write down in your bulletin any of the words in this scripture that really resonate with you. And I say that because this is a kind of familiar scripture. But it is so powerful. Jalea is already feeling the Holy Spirit right now. And it is something that I think God will speak to you. So listen to these words. It'll be on the screens behind me, but listen to these words and pay attention to which ones speak out to you. Write them down if you get a moment. So hear these words from Jesus. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other, but you cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? Who among you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Notice how the lilies in the field grow. They don't wear themselves out with work, and they don't spin cloth. But I say to you that even Solomon in all of his splendor was not dressed like one of these. So if God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today and tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace, won't God do much more for you, you people of weak faith? Therefore, don't worry and say, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what are we going to wear? Gentiles long for all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right, so I'm curious, what did you write down? What did you underline? You don't have to shout them out, but maybe you could raise your hand if you're feeling really passionate about it today. I'll share a few that stood out to me. Stop worrying. That resonate with anybody? Yeah, okay, just a few, okay. Desire God's kingdom first. What about your heavenly Father knows what you need? Do you believe that? You cannot serve God and wealth. Don't worry about your life. And then my favorite, you people of weak faith. Thanks a lot, Jesus. But, you know, when I read this scripture, when I hear these words from Christ, I just think about how comfortable some of these words make me and how very uncomfortable some of his words make me. And it's so like Jesus to do that. So as you think for yourselves about what maybe resonated with you this morning, I will confess to you, and my mom just gave like clear eye contact to me as I was reading it, the two that really stand out to me are stop worrying, right? So if I'm honest, you know, if Jesus walked up to me in the middle of my day and he said that to me, I would probably laugh in his face. And I would say, okay, yeah, sure, Jesus, I'll just stop worrying. That sounds great. I'll just stop worrying about the kids. I'll stop worrying about the future, about schoolwork, about your church, about how there's so much injustice in this world, and I have such a passion to bring your vision of hope and love. And Jesus, have you seen us lately? I mean, we are really kind of the worst down here. Don't you need me to be worried, Jesus? If you know, Jesus would just laugh and say, not really, but as your pastor, I'm a little embarrassed to say, but I have to admit, worry and anxiety come all too easily to me. Me and worry are like best friends. We are BFF, and so it's not too hard for me to imagine myself as a bird trying to move crops into a barn, or a lily trying to sew clothes for myself, which, by the way, are completely absurd images, and Jesus knows that. So it's almost like Jesus is making a joke, applying some humor so that we'll really connect with him, and that just makes me all the more irritated at Jesus standing in front of me like, okay, so not only are you telling me not to worry, but you're using birds and flowers to paint a picture of how ridiculous it is. Really, Jesus? Is that okay? Are you even allowed to make a joke? Is that all right? So it's obvious that Jesus is trying to meet us where we are, and clearly, Jesus has something to say to me in these verses of scripture today. God speaks to our hearts. So as you think about what you've underlined, you think about what resonated with you, as I think about those individual things, I'm mindful that what's most helpful right now is that we just take a deep breath, take a step back, and look at this bigger picture of the scripture that we're reading today. Look at this bigger conversation that Jesus is having with the disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, because maybe, just maybe, if we look at that big picture, we have a better understanding of who God is, of who God is calling us to be, and of the courage and of the faith that it takes to embrace God's heart for empowering even us to belong to healing and restoration that are so important to God in this world. You see, this scripture today that we read grounds us in nothing less than God's vision for us and for all of creation. And as much as I want to get all righteously irritated at Jesus for telling me to stop worrying, I am so very compelled to listen to him. I am so very persuaded to really hear this bigger picture of God's kingdom that Jesus shares with us in this scripture. I'm compelled by this vision of a society, this community of people that cares for one another and for all. God's kingdom here on earth that we get to know because of this man, Jesus, walking around sharing his life with us. So I think what's critical this morning as we consider this scripture today is that Jesus actually presents us from the very beginning with a choice, right? Do you remember, if you've still got your Bibles open, verse 24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." And then Jesus goes into that really long speech on not worrying about our lives and kind of wraps everything up with this idea of desiring God's kingdom and righteousness first and foremost. And I don't know about you, but when I first read that, I kind of find it a little confusing. Like, how are all these things connected? And as I look at the God we come to know in Jesus Christ, you know, in him we see a life indeed that has been lived with great intention, with purposeful choices, full of love for God and for neighbor. We see one who chooses daily, maybe even moment by moment, to focus all of his attention, all of his trust, all of his certainty on God. See, the God that we come to know in Jesus Christ, the God we come to know in the Sermon on the Mount, is a God of abundance, of ultimate provision, of grace, of vision and hope. And it seems that Jesus is reminding us that if we too would choose to serve God only, to focus fully on God, then all that energy, all that time that we spend on anxiety and on worry, well, it's not like those are going to totally go away. But God is going to be faithful to take our hearts and to reshape them, to reform them so that we could live in confidence and with courage as we face the challenges and the hard spots in our lives. Think about you, our student athletes, as our guests today. And I think about our students who are up in the balcony today. I can only imagine the worry and the anxiety that things like tests and papers and basketball practice and the upcoming game, all of it can really weigh on you. It can overwhelm you. I think about people who have moved into the professional world and maybe they're trying to figure out how to balance their budget, trying to pay for meals, pay for the mortgage. And I have to ask, what might it look like to fully trust God with these things? For those of us who are parents, maybe if we fully trust God, then we would parent our children from a heart of grace, not only for them, goodness knows they need it, but also for us. We have to give ourselves grace as we parent. And maybe, just maybe, if we live our lives focused on God's kingdom and on God's righteousness, which is a word you remember that can also be translated as justice, maybe God will empower us to partner with God. And we could be part of creating and sustaining this world where there really is enough for everyone. And there really is. I mean, you guys know me. I researched it. I looked into it. I have gone to the internet where, of course, everything is true, right? No, I really did. I looked into this because I wondered, well, God, is there really enough for anyone? Can I really trust you with this? And the thing is, there is. There really is enough food in this world, friends. There's enough water if we start taking care of it a little bit better. There's enough shelter. There's enough clothing. There is literally enough here to meet every person's physical needs. And what's even more amazing is that if we are those who are living fully, trusting and serving God, we could also be part of creating and sustaining not only communities where physical needs are met, but stable communities where everyone, where all people can thrive, where we don't spend our energy worrying about things that are beyond our control. Rather, we spend our energy courageously being the people that God has called us to be. Because those birds and those lilies that Jesus talks about, again, they are not even remotely capable of picking up crops and putting them in barns or of sewing clothes for themselves. But as Jesus kind of calls them to mind for us, what that does for us is it reminds us that they are doing precisely what God created them to do. They're flying, they're thriving, they're shining their vibrant colors. And in the same way, you know, we can only do what we are created and called to do. We can only be who God has created and called us to be. And we, church, we are called to be brave. We're called to be children of God, disciples of Jesus who showed us how to create God's kingdom here on earth, followers of the one who laid down his own life for others, teaching us that new commandment. Reverend Sheila preached on it last week, that we love one another the way Christ loves us. We lay down our lives not to things like worry or money or success, not to accumulating more stuff or more power or more prestige, but we lay down our lives for one another, for all of God's children, because that kind of love, can you imagine it? That kind of love will not only transform us, it has the power to change everything. That is the compelling vision that Jesus is giving us. That kind of love has the power to create a world that really doesn't have any room for fear or anxiety, no room for worry, no room for scarcity, not even a concept that there's not enough. When we choose to serve God with our full lives, our full hearts, friends, then we are living as true disciples of Jesus Christ, trusting God to work even in us to help heal and restore this world. And yet, making this choice is not necessarily an easy one. Choosing to serve God is not always easy. For as much as Jesus tells us in this passage of Scripture not to worry, which is five times he says, don't worry, it's not like he's saying life is going to be easy, right? It's going to take courage. It's going to take focus. Again, I think about these teams. I think about the focus and the determination you have to bring to your lives every single day. That's how it is for us as people of faith. It takes determination to be true to who God calls us to be. And yet, God-sized vision requires faith. It requires stepping out of our comfort zone so that we really can be a part of God's kingdom here on earth. So, friends, so we think about this choice that Jesus puts before us. So you think about maybe those words that you underlined or wrote down in your bulletin. As we consider this vision that God gives of a world where there really is enough for everyone, as we ask God to move in our hearts and lives and shape us into the kind of people who love so faithfully that we would lay down our lives for others. Friends, I have to ask you, what is your vision today? What is your vision for God's call on your life? What is your vision for your team? What is your vision for your family? What is your vision for this church? What are the limitless possibilities available to you and to me, to our neighbors, and to this world, if we could really lean into that vision that Jesus gives us in the Sermon on the Mount, where the poor and the powerless and the persecuted and the peacemakers, these are the ones that Jesus lifts up before us and says, these are the people we admire and esteem and want to be like, where birds and flowers remind us that God has given us more than enough. I mean, we see birds and flowers every single day, don't we? Just like those people in the original audience Jesus would have had 2,000 years ago, and he's pretty smart that way. Jesus puts them up there in front of us, and we're visualizing them, and it's like he's saying, hey, psst, hey, you guys down there. Hey, Ashley, you worrywart, look around you for a minute. Look around you and take it all in. Your vision, your hopes, your dreams, for all that I can do in and through you to help this world be a place of peace and grace and love. It's all right here. Your vision is right in front of you, the bird in the air, the flower at your feet, the exhausted parent walking by you in the hallway, picking up a child from Cokesbury Children's Center, the just wildly tall basketball player who has come to Pensacola far from home, walking around full of energy, eager to give her or his best to this season of life. I think about the staff and the students at Holm Elementary School who are just striving to learn and thrive. All those young people we just heard about, all those families, all those students, all those precious children of God. Friends, they're all right here. What if the beauty of Jesus offering up birds and flowers on a hillside 2,000 years ago and to us in this sanctuary on this mid-October day is just the courage we need to step out of our comfort zones, to cross the hallway with an outstretched hand, to walk across the street with open arms, to connect with one another in a way that says, I believe in this God that I come to know in Jesus Christ. I believe that he has shown us the very best way to live. He shared his days on earth with us in a way that reminds me my trust is in God, not in wealth, not in grades, not in promotions, not in stuff. My trust is in the God who comes to earth and walks around with us, walks around with all sorts of people, poor and powerful, peacemaker and prosecutor. And somehow this God in Jesus Christ reminds me that somehow we all belong to one another. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid. Not if we actually care for one another the way that God cares for us. And we could say, because I belong to that God, I'm going to be brave enough to be the best me that God has created me to be. And because I know that amazing love in Jesus, I'm going to be brave enough to share that love with you and with everyone that I meet. Friends, vision and hope indeed are inspirations of the heart, a heart that trusts God with everything. So this day, it is my sincere prayer that we might choose to serve God, believing, living like we know we have more than enough. May we be free from worry and fear. May we have courage and be empowered by God to step out of our comfort zone and lean into a God-sized vision for the present and for the future. Friends, may we be who God has called us to be. Amen? Let's pray. God, as we think about this incredible vision that you give to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, this incredible idea that even when we see a bird or a flower, God, we might be reminded that you truly are more than enough, that you have provided us with more than enough, and that if we wanted to, God, we could choose to serve you. We could choose to love you every single day, and we know that if we do that, God, you would be faithful to change our hearts, to change this world, God, so that it might be what you always dreamed it would be. Lord, in these moments, on this day, God, may we be your servants. May we be your dream come true. May we trust you fully, God. In your Son's precious name we pray.